and welcome to We Are Marvel Pod, where we explore all the corners of the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse, and we are the official podcast of the We Are Marvel Facebook page. Go give them a join or follow, however that works. And while you're on Facebook, on the internet there, go check out our page, We Are Marvel Pod. It's a great place to be. We got some funny memes and other stuff that comes up, we post it there. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Jeremy.
I'm your other host. My name is Justin.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Indeedio. Glad to be here.
This will be a fun one. I will say I did not hate this as much as I thought I was going to be. You're probably surprised by that. I know. Even like while watching it and thinking this, I was like, I'm never going
to
hear the end.
I'm supposed to hate this. Like this because it's not Iron Man.
It's not great. I will say that. But it's fine.
Wow. Okay. It's fine.
It is.
Okay.
It's fine. It is fine. It's got cheesiness to it.
Yeah.
John Travolta was overacting.
Well, that's what he does. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's very early 2000s. There were times in some of the lines, God's going to sit this one out. Like, I remember in the theaters hearing that. And I was so obsessed with this movie when it came out, by the way. Like, I read the novelization, which I still own, to this movie. Okay. So, like, this was, like, one of my religions back when it came out. watching it earlier this afternoon, I was like, okay, well, it's 2004. You know? What do you expect? Like, this is pre-Batman Begins. This is the same year Catwoman came out. you know? So, the Foxtastic Four is next year, you know, so we're not even there yet. Like, we're still in that cornball.
No. Foxtastic Four was
the first one, 2005. Oh, okay. Not fan
Foxtastic, is it?
Yeah, okay, a little Foxtastic. Not fan Four Stick Four.
Fan Four Stick, yeah. Four Stick. It's what it says, okay?
Yeah.
It is.
But it's fun. Like, and again, as a fan of the Punisher and just everything, like, this was, like, with Daredevil, like, this is the best we had at this point in time, you know? With Daredevil, the only other version we had was I think his name was Matt Smith from The Trial of Incredible Hulk. That was the only other thing we had, which was not very good. With this, the only other one we had, which we were talking about before the show, was the very terrible Dolph Lundgren 89 Punisher, where he barely talks. He lives in a sewer, basically. Doesn't have the skull on his shirt, which I feel like would have been a very easy thing to do. And it's just, it's nothing. Like, it's just not a thing. This is, at least, is Punisher. And there are things about this that I actually kind of like more than other versions, but we'll get to that later.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we just have you guys sit back, relax, grab your Icarus, and we're going to start talking about The Punisher. An undercover FBI agent becomes a vigilante and sets out to unleash his wrath upon the corrupt businessman who slaughtered his entire family at a reunion.
Twist.
That is basically what the movie is.
Yes. He is an under.
Yeah, so The Punisher was directed by Jonathan is it Hensley?
Sure.
I think it's Hensley.
It is now.
H-E-N-S-L-E-I-G-H. Hensley.
Okay.
We're going to go with that. You're right. It is now. It was written by Jonathan Hensley and Michael France, and is based on Punisher by Jerry Conway, Ross Andrew, and John Romita Sr. It is starring Thomas Jane, John Travolta, Will Patton, Roy Scheider, Laura Herring, Ben Foster, and Rebecca Romaine Stamos, I think, is the time. I don't think she is anymore.
Not anymore, no. Not for quite some time.
It was released on April 16th, 2004, at a budget of $33 million and a box office of $54.7 million. At least made its money back, but...
Yeah, it did okay. Yeah. It did not set the world on fire at all when it came out, which was very discouraging to me.
It did not set a fire that looked like a Punisher logo. It did not.
Which is still very rough. Like, it's a cool idea, but it does not look good.
No. I knew it was coming, and I was just waiting for it. And I don't know why I was thinking, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe somehow it got removed because it should have. Nah, it was there. And it was just perfect.
Yeah. It is a cool idea. I feel like it's a bit... I don't know. I mean, the Punisher, he's flashy, you know. He has his moments where he's like, hey, I did this. I'm the Punisher, and this is the thing I did. But it's like, I remember even back then, I was like, it took you a long time to map this out and do this. And in that time, you probably could have just, like, killed everybody and left. Just in the time it took to set up these bombs. But I did want to point out something kind of funny about the cast of this movie. Last night, I watched the new Super Mario Brothers movie, the animated one.
It's great.
It's awesome. Yeah, I fucking loved it. And to counter that, we watched the original with Bob Hoskins and Leguizamo.
Okay.
The lady, the actress that plays Princess Daisy is the actress that plays Frank's wife. Which I did not pick up on. My wife did, and I did, and then I looked it up, and it's true. So that was pretty cool. I've watched two movies with her in the past 24 hours.
Didn't know you were going on a whatever her name is binge.
I didn't either, but I did, and it was great.
That's hilarious. I did not. Yeah, I don't. I still don't even remember. Like, I remember her in this movie, but I don't remember what she looked like in the Mario one. I assume virtually the same.
I was going to say more or less like this, but younger and bigger hair, because it was the 80s.
I mean, this wasn't too far off. All right. Was it really 80s for that Mario movie?
If it wasn't the 80s, it was late 80s, early 90s. Let's keep going, and I'll look it up.
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. I guess we'll just... we kind of went over overall thoughts, but I'm going to go a little bit further into them. I'll kind of go first here while you look up the important stuff. So like I said, I didn't hate this movie. I thought it was 93. Fine. I went into 93?
Yeah, 93.
Okay. All right. It's not that far from the 80s, but it still feels...
No, yeah, it's...
20 years ago, jeez. 30 years ago, not 20. Feels like 20. Even worse. It's 30. I
know. We are old, yes.
Correct. Sorry, just going on another tangent here. I read somewhere that if they did Back to the Future now, it would be 93 is where he would go back to. Like, it's...
Gross.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be 5 or 6 years old.
55 to 85 seems so much further apart than 93 to now. But it's the same time. Okay, gross. Back to the Punisher. Thank you for our little...
I think you're the Punisher because you are punishing me and my...
And the listeners. I apologize.
They're used to that.
Oh, I hate you. All right. Anyways, back to this. Like I said, I thought it was fine. I thought I was going to hate it because it's old, it's cheesy, which it still is, but I was fine with it. And I do think it's because, like you, I really like the Punisher. I love what our most recent Punisher has done. I can't remember his name now. Yes, John Bernthal. Thank you. He is the best one. He is the Punisher when I think of the Punisher, even after watching this. The movie, it had its cheesy parts. It's from the early 2000s. John Travolta overacted. Other people, just their looks and stuff. Everyone wearing all black, a lot of leather in this. The sleeveless stuff. Like, it has its cheesy parts, but it's not bad. Like, it's a good kind of setting up of the Punisher and backstory and all that stuff. It all works. It all is the Punisher story. So, I mean, I had a fine time with it. Like, I don't know if I'm not going to go back and watch it again anytime soon, but I wouldn't tell anyone else, like, avoid it. Like, I've done that definitely for other movies. But this one, go check it out. I mean, it's not bad. You might enjoy it more than you think. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a soft spot in my heart for this, obviously, like all the things I said before. Like, I was obsessed with this movie. I still have the novel. I've been cleaning my office for a project I'm working on, and I came across the novelization for it, and I was like, God, it was so cool. I was so into it. And it is very Punisher. Like, if it wasn't so early 2000s, like, it ticks all the boxes. And like I was saying before, there are things about this I actually like more than even recent Punisher stuff. Mainly, they show the death of his family. Which is always either alluded to, shown in a flashback, whatever. Like, this is the first time where you see him with his family, you get that connection, and then they die. And the other thing I always liked about this is it's not just his wife and kid or kids, depending on which one you watch. It's everybody. Which, watching it, I was like, that was one of those things that always kind of bummed me about Punisher. It's like, well, and this is going to sound terrible, I'm sure, but I get how terrible it would be to have your wife and child die and murdered in front of you. I understand that. But you also have the rest of your family, in theory, there. And this, I liked it because they wiped out everybody. He has nobody left. Nothing. Which is awesome.
Right.
I mean, even, I mean, you know, for the character.
I understand what you mean. But
well, even just like, I mean, just.
They wiped them all out.
Fucking kids, awesome.
Parents. Oh, I loved it.
I am a horror movie fan, so there is a bit of that there. But I mean, the scene of them running on the dock, it, like, even every single time I watch it, like, you want them to get away. Like, this is the time I'm going to watch it, and they're going to be okay. You know?
Right,
and
right.
And when Frank is there and he finds him and he sets him down. We're basically just talking about the movie now. It's fine. But he has the shotgun and he's shooting off rounds and misses a couple times. And then it clicks. And then you see him get whooped. Like, it's so fucking crushing. And I feel like in this version, he's more human than in any other version. Which I don't know if that's good or bad. Like, when I first thought of that, I thought it was good. But the more I watched it, I was like, he's not as cold as the other ones. And that's what makes him seem more dangerous.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he kind of has that could be a serial killer in a horror movie vibe. Where it's like, I get your motivation, but I don't connect with you enough to where I'm feeling it the whole time.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're just very brutal in every possible way, which is great.
Yeah.
But in this, it was like you see the pain throughout the whole thing. Like, you feel that connection the whole time because you spent time with his family.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we'll just keep going into the movie, like you said.
Okay.
I think I do agree that I do like the more jaded and closed off Frank Castle versus this Frank Castle. This one was still good. Like I said, it was fine. It was a good representation of the Punisher. But yeah, the whole, hey, we need your help. That guy's back in her apartment. Like, the John Bernthal would just close the door and be like, yeah, what? I'm not dealing with that. I've got other things I got to focus on. I have to find out how I'm killing these other people. Like, that stuff is trivial. But in this one, he does close the door, but then he opens it. He's like, okay, give me a sec. And he goes. And so there was that, like you said, that humanized version of him. And yeah, it's still good. They're just different.
Yeah.
One thing that I did find it kind of hilarious about this reunion. So I got to point out these things. You know, it's my thing, I guess. So when the dad is, then Frank Sr. is talking and he's like, hey, these two families came together and they made this. And he holds up, you know, the grandson. And you can see the other kids, like, in the background. I told him, I was like, what about all the other kids?
Thanks, asshole. That too.
I'm a grandkid, like, too. Like,
well, we can tell who this one's favorite is.
Yeah, he's sitting at the table right next to him.
Yeah. Gets the champion hold. The
kids' table's over there just like, what about us? So yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
I definitely thought that too, but I was like, I wonder if Frank is his only grandkid.
That could be it. The others are the other side of the family or something.
Yeah. That was the only, like, their nieces and that, but I mean, yeah, so I mean, he would be uncle to them. They wouldn't be grandfather. I did think that. I was like, first of all, it's weird to have a family reunion of just the husband and wife side of a family.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be one or the other.
Not both. You wouldn't call it a family reunion. It'd just be, hey, no. we're getting together.
This is basically a reenactment of our wedding. Like, that's what they should have done, is it should have been like, you know, we're starting this new life. Frank's retiring. We're renewing our wedding vows. So let's have all of his family, all of her family together. A family reunion to have both the husband and wife's family come together is weird.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Like, I found it funny. And
it is funny. Like, this grandson's the best one. The rest of you guys, try harder next year.
This is what you get when you come together. You freaking losers, stay at your table. Oh, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
So my wife had never watched this before, and I think there were quite a few twists that she was not expecting. I never do this, but I should have asked her. Like, tell me more than what... Because I ask her every time it's over, like, what'd you think?
You should ask her actual opinion. Little. That would be nice of you to do.
Well, I do ask her what she thinks, but I should make her elaborate more. I never really do. So, yeah. Because I think I bring her up just about every time. Say, we watch this. I'm a terrible person.
I know.
Anyway,
I like you anyway.
All right. Okay, so what do we got next here? I guess
was there more to that?
No, that was it. I just found it hilarious that he pointed out the one grandchild while the other.
No, your wife and those twists and turns and the things that your wife didn't see coming.
Yes, there was. I lost that train of thought quick, didn't I? So at the beginning,
I get why you never get her to elaborate.
I guess maybe she doesn't. I don't. Listening or something.
Well, that's interesting, honey. Sorry, I'm texting Justin so we can start recording.
Yeah, all right. She had no idea that the Frank Castle was undercover at the beginning. When he got shot, she was kind of like shocked, like, oh my gosh, like this guy just got shot. Listening to her kind of when it happened, it was kind of
complicated. That's cool.
But, so, I mean, it's good that if you go into this movie not knowing anything or who the main person is or anything like that, I'm sure that would have been a great twist. So that was just one of the things I was going to point out. Thank you for reminding me.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. I might skip around here a little bit, but the next thing I wanted to talk about was, I guess it was right after the funeral with the... Mrs. Castle, or not Mrs. Castle, Mrs. Saint. I don't remember what her name is or the actress's name. It's probably the Laura Herring, I think.
I don't remember.
It is. That's Laura Herring.
Okay.
I forgot that she is the one that was like, I want you to kill everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, after hearing that again, because I obviously heard it the first time, I was like, Jesus, she is, she's the worst one right here. Like, yeah, John Travolta's bad, but like she's the one that he was just fine with getting Castle, be done with it.
Eye for an eye.
I'll kill you. The end. Yeah. She's like, no, eye for your entire body and your rest of your family and even the best grandson in the world. Everyone.
And all the loser grandkids, too.
Yeah.
They don't deserve to live anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't remember it, and it was kind of shocking hearing it again. Like, she's the reason, essentially, for making him.
Well, that's what's funny. Like, you kind of forget about it, and so when she dies at the end, you almost feel bad. But then you click back, like, oh, actually, she's the reason this is happening in the first place.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Like, if they had just killed Frank, be done. Movie done. Over.
Yeah.
No more movie.
All right. What do we got next here? I don't know what else there was until... I mean, yeah, okay. Some other kind of odd things. And I know they had to happen, otherwise the movie's over when that happens. But him getting shot so many times, I thought he got shot in the chest twice. It looked like one of the ones on the bridge. It was a chest shot. I think it might have been a shoulder or something.
I was going to say, I think it just winged him.
Yeah.
Because he got the one in the leg that took him down, and then I think he got winged on the left side, and that kind of like dirt sent him back.
Okay. And then he got
punched
and beat up and all that. But the one, like, I don't know, 5 inches away looked like right in the chest.
Well, I mean, you see the scar in his chest. And then not only that, but he gets up within a short amount of time after that. Like, they set up the whole dock to explode, and then he woke up to be able to not only survive, but he actually, like, physically hurled himself off of the deck as to not die in the explosion.
I took that as the explosion threw him off the deck, not he hurled himself.
If I remember from the book, it's a little of both. Like, he starts to kind of lunge, and then the blast, like, that's how he's able to, escape. Which, and, I mean, it's Frank Castle. He's a tough cookie. That's his whole deal.
Yeah. It is fine with fire. He did not get burned one bit.
I mean,
he's totally fine.
Well, I mean, he was in recovery long enough to grow that very handsome beard. So, I mean,
I was gonna point out the beard.
All the burns have healed. He's fine now. Plus, he needed a crutch to get up the hill to the house. But after that, I'm good. I'm pissed enough.
It was after he found the disgusting shirt in the water.
It had egg on it for some reason and other stuff.
And where did it come from?
Yeah,
was it a gift from the family, or was that some other movie? Well,
no, it was a gift from his son.
Oh, okay.
You missed that part? Didn't you watch this movie sooner ago than I did? Yeah,
I must have been texting you at the time.
Maybe. You don't pay attention a lot, and then you complain about movies, and they go, well, if you actually watched the movie, you'd see this, and you go, oh, well, that makes sense. That's much better, though.
You're right. That pivotal scene right there definitely would have changed my opinion.
It makes more sense, doesn't it? It's not just a random shirt on the beach.
Well,
it's from his son.
I wouldn't put it past this movie. All right.
No, I mean,
I remember that.
The logic of it is still a little wonky, but yeah. I mean, it was the son and wife found it at a shop, and he's like, I found this scary shirt, and I got it for you because it's supposed to ward off demons and shit or whatever, and here it is. How it ended up on the beach all tattered to shit, I guess the police cleaning up the scene just did a very terrible job cataloging all the stuff, and this is like, this is a stupid fucking shirt, and just threw it on the beach.
But they left all the guns?
That, I thought, was weird, too. We're done with this place. Let's just leave these guns in this abandoned crime scene house in this glass case. I'm sure no one will take them.
Yeah. Nah.
5 months later. Although we don't know how long ago it was. But, the first thing you'd do, I think, as cops, would be gather firearms to see who shot what and when. Yep.
And even if they were locked in a case, you would probably still take them, put them in as evidence of some sort. Just so they don't get taken and used in some other crime.
You'd think.
But hey, if they did that, he can have gone back and got his arsenal, but whatever.
And movie would have been
all right.
Although he had his own arsenal that was somewhere else, I think. So it's all relative.
They never showed him getting all that stuff, but I don't know where he has all the money for everything else.
I rationalize that as retirement money. Because he'd retired. So, I mean, that was his retirement package or whatever.
Okay.
And just all cash that out.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that one. All right. What do we got next? So he comes back. He moves to, it's Tampa, Florida? Tampa something, Florida, right?
Tampa in Florida, yes.
Yeah. Is that any relevance to the comics? Do you know? Not that I know of.
I mean, from everything I've ever read, he's from New York. When they do their, if from what I remember, the family's killed in Central Park, or something, a New York park.
Right. But not at the family reunion in Puerto Rico?
No.
Yeah. Because I kept thinking that, too. He's in New York, and I was like, where is this apartment at that he's living in New York? It's not New York. It's like, just stop thinking that.
Somewhere else.
I still do have questions about this apartment. Like, does no one live downstairs? Because there's clearly stairs, because he's fallen down them multiple
times. It could be
times
the lobby. Have. There's not necessarily ground level. I mean, it's a shitty, like, warehouse that some jackass went, let's just shove some poor people in here and make them live there. That'd be funny.
Okay. Yeah, no, so that's fair. Maybe some garages. Storage.
I would think most people with any common sense would get the fuck out of that apartment building as soon as possible. Unless they met Rebecca Romijn, and then they might stay a little longer. But aside from that...
I know. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That would make me stay. So yeah, he comes back. Another thing that I think was odd was that he made it so obvious, and even more so after he goes and meets the cops, that he's back. Like, he takes out his gravestone, puts it in the golf course, like you just lost the whole element of surprise.
Yeah, why did you Michael Myers him? Like, you really didn't need to look. That's a lot of work. Those aren't light. And then he got it to the middle of this golf course.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Like, yeah, right.
Something else I noticed in this, and I feel like it's either a deleted scene, or it has to be a deleted scene, but the son calling Howard Saint to say we have a problem, how did he know that? What was the problem? What was the son alerted to that would have him call Howard to, like, hey, something's going on? And then Howard sees the tombstone and goes, oh, I think I might have an idea what's going on.
Nothing had happened.
Unless, you're right. Was that... Now I'm wondering. Was that after he went to the steps of the place and was, like, right in front of the press? Because that could be the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. That might be issue resolved then. Because if the press got wind of it and it was all over the place, then he did the tombstone while Howard was golfing. That makes sense.
Okay.
Never mind. Yeah. I retract.
All right.
That might not even be true, but let's just say that's what happened.
I feel like it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so you're right. Okay, all right. We'll retract.
I'm turning into you too much. Let's find a stupid nit to pick.
Hey, sometimes it's fun to pick on movies, all right? Get over yourself.
True. But this isn't Howard the Duck. This is Punisher 2004. Give respect.
Stop it, please.
Like, to me, until Bernthal, Thomas Jane was the Punisher. And, like, I rooted for him to come back as Punisher so many times. And then Bernthal, of course, came along and just blew it out of the water, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Just showed us all who the real Frank Castle is. Oh, man, he's so good. I'm so excited to get more of him.
Me too.
All right, what else do we got? So he keeps building this car. And I
could just build
don't
it the one time.
That's the thing. I don't understand why we focus so much on this car and building it. And he's just working on it nonstop all the time and doing so much to it, like getting it ready to just fight this battle. And he gets it. We see it once.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, because in the comics, the Punisher has the battle van. It has a name. I don't remember what it is, but this souped up. They kind of do it in the Netflix show, and Micro is his sidekick and works from the van, and that's where he keeps his arsenal. It's in the Spider-Man animated series, so it's like this is like the proto that, which is cool, but literally it's created for one action sequence, which is a cool action sequence, but could have been cool to like plow that through Saints and Sinners. Just saying.
Yeah, I know. I was watching him do it, and I forget that it was used once, but it was so cool that the thing that slides down the window's like, it's smart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, you're building it into a tank, and then
I love that action sequence. It's fantastic.
Yes, it was good, but I am confused, and this might be because I haven't read the comics. But who is the I guess assassin guy? What is his name? Harry Heck. Are we supposed to know who that is?
He's an assassin from the comics. Like, it's just some dude.
Okay, it is from the comics. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think Howard Saint is. The Russian definitely is. I think the apartment folk are all from the books. Okay. I don't remember which run.
Joan Bumbo and Spacker and
Dave. Yeah. Yeah. So they're all from the books.
Okay. Okay. Well, not knowing that, it was just confusing that this guy comes in.
Howard even says, like, I'm bringing in a specialist, or I think it was, what's-his-face from Remember the Titans, was like, you know, we're bringing in a specialist, and he'll be there within 48 hours. And this is who he was talking about. So, I mean, it's who they hired to get Frank before they hired Russian.
Okay, fine.
No more nits. Bad.
Oh, no. I have to. It was still weird the way he...
It's a strange thing. Like, the fact that he just busts out a guitar, which I love that song. I still sing it to this day. But...
yeah, I mean, it was a cool song. And just the way he did it all, the way he grabbed the cigarette between his pinky and ring finger and so he can use his other fingers better. Like, it was cool. And I liked it. Like, it just was confusing that that's all he came in there to do. And then...
He's Walmart brand Johnny Cash in this diner.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I'm here to kill you, but I'm going to sing you a song about how I'm going to kill you before I go and kill you. Like, how about just kill him?
And then
I'll
do it again at your funeral. I don't know if you should show up there.
It's not cool, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's really the worst assassin ever. I think... Kevin Nash does a better job assassinating, even though they both fail. Like,
well, yeah, let's talk about Kevin Nash, the huge Russian.
who doesn't speak once. Because he's a wrestler. They Tyler Mained him. Like, you're big, let's put you in a movie. Don't talk, though.
And I mean, he is, and it was a great fight sequence. I loved it. And
I love that fight sequence so much.
I loved that the music was playing, and... It was brutal, but it still had funny parts to it. Like, and it worked.
When he takes out the gun and smashes it with the dumbbell.
Yeah, that one was awesome. Kind of was, but also it's like, because you just bent that steel barrel, but that table made of wood is fine. Nitpicking. Like, it would... No, it wouldn't work. Stop it.
We're going to get a gun, and we're going to get a big dumbbell, and we're going to get someone who's considerably stronger than the both of us combined, and we're going to see if it's going to work.
Deal.
I think it would work. But it's awesome, because it happens, and then he looks at it, and he's just like, fuck. And then he just smashes through the wall. Yeah. That was awesome.
Because we saw him setting up all these things. We saw him set that up, and the hidden... grenade, which he again uses, and he just hits it back, and it's another funny thing.
That was so cool.
Yeah. And just all these little things that you see him set up, and like, oh, he's ready for whatever comes. And then something comes, and it's like, okay, he was not ready as he thought. And it was very beginnings Punisher, and it worked. And so, I really liked it. And even the way he was able to kind of sneak up on him, like, you see him take out the gun, put it on the desk, get the glass out, starts drinking. And then you hear the knock, and he puts everything away, and even looks at the gun again, like, "Oh no, I don't need this. Like, it's probably
my douchey neighbor's gun."
And it works because it's like, okay, that makes sense why he would just put it away. Like, he doesn't feel the threat, and so I'm glad that they were able to do that and not just have the usual. Oh, I go to grab it, and he knocks it out of my hand, and I'm trying to reach it, but I just can't. We do get that later on. But I'm glad they didn't do it there also. So I did.
Well, it's also not like Punisher in the end of season one where it's like, I'm ready for you. I know you're here. I have this place home alone to the nines, and I'm going to win. Like, it also shows how scrappy he is, that like he gets daredeviled, where he gets his ass whooped again and again and again, and he keeps getting back up because he has that drive. And it's not for the grace of Bumpo making a steaming hot something or other that he's able to burn the shit out of Kevin Nash, which that makeup is fantastic.
I was
like, oh god, that looks painful. Yeah,
it's disgusting, and it's like, okay, nice. Yeah, because it was. Well done. And actually, not far after this is another great scene with Spacker Dave and Bumbo essentially covering for them hiding underneath, like, and they never mm-hmm. give up his whereabouts or anything, which is great. Like, I don't know.
My wife
really
winced
happened.
And she turned to me. It's like, they're going to pull out the piercings, aren't they? And I was like, mm-hmm. my, that's it. Still gets one. Me. Like, I've been watching that for 20 years and it's still like, oh God. And they don't even show it, but the thought of it, and it's done so incredibly well.
Yeah.
Just, oh God. I mean, it's Ben Foster. I feel like I remember you and I being like obsessed with Ben Foster when he was coming up, but maybe it was me and someone else, because it was just, I remember when this hit, then he was in X3, which was a super disappointment, but then he was doing like 310 to Yuma and other stuff, and it was just like Ben Foster was the newest thing getting shoved down our throats, but he's awesome.
Like, he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed him. For sure. But yeah, my wife was the same. Like, as soon as she saw him kind of getting interrogated, before he even grabbed the pliers, mm-hmm. she was like, uh-oh. I was like, I knew. I was like, why do you say uh-oh? She's like, because they're going to do something. Like, what do you mean? I'm trying to play dumb, you know? She's like, they're going to pull out his piercings. I'm like, oh, okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Of course, yeah. She was right. Because, I mean, yeah, they just, all the tension there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they did any extra focusing, but you just knew, like, mm-hmm. they're going to torture him, and this is how they're going to do it.
When a and screaming we got a fun fact so about brutal.
That later, actually. Yes, that was great. For a second, I was like, is he going a little too much? But it's like, no, if you were really getting something pulled out, like, you would be screaming like that for sure.
Hurt. Well, and I love that, like, because the only one we see, in quotation marks, is the eyebrow one.
Right.
And it's done so well that it's just this... Like, you just kind of hear this, like, popping noise. And that's what it would be. It's the skin where it's still there, you know, between the holes, getting out. And it's just like, oh, God. Like, it's such a simple thing, but it would hurt so fucking... And that close to your eye. Like, I hate eye stuff. Oh, it's just... It bugs me.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was brutal. And then, not long after...
the checking... The paper shredder thing to I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about it until I saw him grab it. I was like, oh, that's right.
I remember in the in the theater. I mean, it's just like, because, you know, like Bumpo's like, and points out and you see the shadow. Yeah. And then he's about to go out there with something, like a gun or something. And then sees the slicer, and it's just like, oh my God, that's so fucking metal. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of brutal, a cheesy effect, because he kind of does the when he gets, you know, shanked in the face, but still, it's fucking brutal. Yeah. And they, of course, left the Russian there, so he just falls next to the Russian. It's just like a heap of bodies in this lobby.
I know. Yeah, and I'm wondering, like, where do they all go? Who's going to repair all this stuff? The landlord's not doing it, that's for sure.
Well, he hasn't repaired anything else in that fucking place.
I know. Paper-thin walls, they're just falling through.
We're big guys.
Oh, man. And I also loved the setting up that Castle was doing with the wife and the henchman. I think it's Glass, his name. Yeah, Quentin Glass. Mm-hmm. The Remembered Titans guy, for you to remember. Mm-hmm. Who I'm talking about. I love the setting up. Like, I don't know if it was obvious or if I just remembered it. I don't think it was obvious what he was doing. Mm. I think I just remembered what he does, and that's why it was cool watching him do it again, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And I love the payoff at the end and that it works and all that. Like, it was like, again, I should have asked my wife this. Like, did you know what he was doing while he was doing it? Like, taking the pictures and and doing the parking ticket and all that stuff. Like, did you know what he was doing?
Well, and there's kind of a cool bit of, like, foreshadowing, because when Saint and his wife and Glass were at the club and he sends them off to dance together, like, Saint is looking at him like, huh. And they're kind of, like, laughing and you know, because they're friends, God forbid.
Right.
And I assume the shooing off thing happens regularly because there's very little to no objection from either of them. Like, this is just another day. So they talk, you know, it's fine. Yeah. But there's that little bit of Howard being like, huh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, just watching. Just, yeah, the jealousy creeping in. Yeah.
Yeah, which obviously there's no way of Frank to know that, but still, the fact that he would find a way to like play that, it's fucking cool. And the train is brutal.
Yeah, the train is brutal. But then you can't have the cheesy line without the train. She's gone. She took the train. Oh, okay, cool. Okay, Dad.
Like, yeah, I remember the lines in this being so much cooler in 2004. Like, she took the train made me crack up back in 2004, but watching it today, I was just like, huh. Okay.
Right. You just murdered your wife, this kid's mother, and you're just
and this whole thing is happening because your son died, but you don't really seem to care about your other kid that much.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good point. I remembered to hear about the ballistic knife that he shoots to save himself from Hecker. Is it Hecker or Heckler? Harry Heck, in either one.
Yeah. Gotcha. I wasn't sure what you were talking about.
The Harry Heck assassin guy.
Yeah, Johnny Cash line.
Yes.
Great value, Johnny Cash.
Great value, Johnny Cash, that's right. Johnny Pennies, if you will. Yeah. I forgot that he used that thing, like, because I saw him pull it out again, and maybe it's because I have seen it, and so I kind of remembered, but I was thinking, does he shoot this? Does it shoot out? And then, of course, yes, it does. And that shocked my wife. She was not prepared for that. I think she made it like, oh my gosh, like, holy shit, he just stuck him in the throat with that.
It was quite the spurt. Like, it was a little. It's...
Yeah. I don't know if from that far with you'd have that much force, but hey, whatever. It worked. He got you out of this. Yeah, it's just I had to bring it up because it was an audible gasp.
So, yeah, I mean that whole like I said, that whole sequence is fucking awesome. It's the waste of a very souped up cool car for one scene, but it's a cool scene. Know.
And there's so much attention brought to the car, like. You see him building it and with the motor, and it brings everyone out to the window to watch him work on the car. And, like, there's car parts everywhere, and it's like...
You know what, though?
All of that?
Here's what I want to... I'm going to throw this out there.
Okay.
This just occurred to me. So he puts all this work into the car. He puts all this work into home alone in his apartment. And it just barely works one time. Like...
Okay.
It's very early days Punisher. So he's doing all this cool stuff with the car, the proto Punisher van, I don't remember what it's called. And it works kind of mostly enough for him to just get away. He puts all this work into home alone in his apartment, and it pretty much doesn't work. Like, nothing he did in that apartment to be ready worked at all.
Right.
It wasn't until he got to his neighbor's with the pot of boiling soup that he actually was able to win. So.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's fair. All right. Okay. You're right. It fits in with that kind of storyline. But still. I mean, the car was really cool. I wish it would have at least just not worked in a different way.
Well, that's... I feel like... I think if this had gotten a sequel, it would have made this movie better. Because you would have seen, like, him learning from all the mistakes of this movie... And losing himself even further into things. So he would have been that farther removed from his family. I think we would have gotten something a lot closer to the Bernthal Punisher had this actually gotten a sequel.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, we'll never know, but I will accept that for now.
And the closest thing we got was Punisher Warzone, which is fine, but it's such a different kind of animal that... Like, you can't even compare the two because they're so drastically different.
I honestly don't remember much from it at all.
Well, we're going to watch it. A while.
A while.
I'm going to look at our calendar.
A while.
I'll look at our calendar. I don't know when we're actually going to get to it.
I mean, I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but I'm intrigued, I guess, to rewatch it and be reminded.
December.
I'll go with that. December. Ending off the year with a dud.
It's not that bad. And it's got the late, great Ray Stevenson in it.
So that's right. Okay.
We do have that going for us.
Yeah, man. I want to say I've seen it, but I cannot tell you anything about it. We'll figure it out. It might be better if I haven't seen it, because then it'll be my first impression. All right. I think we're just about done with this one, though. So we see all, like I said, mentioned earlier, we see all of the Frank Castle kind of blackmailing, not really blackmailing, but setting up kind of come to fruition. He kills Glass. He kills his wife. He makes him do it. He only is setting these things up, which is even more brutal, I think, than if he were to just do it. It absolutely is more brutal. And then we get the fight at the club, Saints and Sinners. That's right.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. It does have some of the cheesy stuff in it, though. One of the things that I can really think of is the knife, like, through the bottom of his face or skull or whatever. And you can, like, see the blade in there. Kind of clever, but also it's like, that's not how it would work. His mouth wouldn't stay open.
That's the only thing that gets me is, like, he does the super cartoony, keeps doing it. Like, at a certain point, you'd stop and you wouldn't, like, eventually you would close your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of brutal stuff there. With the first explosion, first off, I mean, puts a lot of people down. Him shooting, him getting hit, was good. And I was almost like no blood in this movie. I did notice that. So yeah. I, like, no gushing blood or anything. You can see it on the shirt and stuff like that. But aside from that, really nothing.
The hex.
Oh, right. I think they saved it all for that.
Yeah. And Dave's face.
But yeah, when he gets hit. All right. But that's dried. I don't know if you count it. Could be ketchup. he gets hit in, I would assume, in the vest, but in the side too, and I don't think there's protection there. So I don't know if he gets hit in the body or if he's just got more armor there or what. But, I mean, he still gets hit, and he just keeps going, and it is a very Frank Castle Punisher type thing. So I did like that about it. It was good.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I love that finale. I think it's awesome. The fact that he's using one kind of gun, and it's not really working for him, and so he has to switch to something else. Like, it's very Frank Castle. Like, he has to learn and adapt and change for what he's doing.
Yeah, that's true. And then just getting the final son with the, hey, hold this up and let's see how long you can last kind of a thing. I was just thinking, like, if I was in that spot and I knew I was going to die, I'd probably just pull it down now and take you out with me. I wouldn't just wait till you're gone.
Yeah.
What do we get after that? I think it just goes out and chases down John Travolta after that, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, he strings up the bomb for the son, which is always brutal. And then he chases down Howard, and you get the, you killed my son, and then you get the scream and the boom. Both of them.
Perfect timing.
Yeah,
it's, I mean, and it worked. And out. that might have made more sense if he had the clicker. That could have been cool too, actually. Just had the clicker. He killed my son, and then click. I just killed the other one too.
I mean, kind of fun. The brutality of, like, he's having to hold it up, and you know you're only going to be able to hold it up for so long. But the idea of him having a clicker and going, dude, that would have been good too.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. Either way, it kind of works, but yeah. Then tying him up with just some cables that you just happen to reach under and pull. Because I was thinking, I was like, how did he tie him up to this again? And he reaches under, and I'm like, oh, he stored something? And then he rips out cables. That's all it is. It's okay. No, I don't know if that works, but it was fine. Yeah. And then, yes, of course, you get the very cheesy, like we've already talked about, explosions forming a perfect Punisher symbol. Whatever.
I think with better CG, it would have looked better. But CG fire being what it was in 2004, like, It was okay. It's a cool idea. Just didn't look that good.
Yeah. It's an idea. I'll give you that.
Yeah. They did. You know, we can't really say much after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess after that is just him kind of leaving, and you hear the he's kind of vow that he's made that he's going to go and kill all the killers and rapists and psychopaths and all that. Which is cool. It kind of leaves it open to you know, Frank Castle continues on as the Punisher. He even says, Frank Castle's dead. I'm now the Punisher.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take it. Yeah, like I said, it was a decent movie. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've always enjoyed this. It's always been kind of fun. It's one of those nostalgic, classic, you know, old school Marvel movies for me. So it's got a place in my heart, but I'm just glad you enjoyed it.
All right. Yes, I did. It was a fine time. Yeah. I think we covered mostly everything, right? Is there anything you wanted to talk about we didn't cover? Okay. All right. Well, before we wrap this up, let's get into just a few fun facts. I think just fun facts, no Easter eggs. Do you want to start or do you want me to?
I'll go first because you've been talking a lot and it's your episode. So courtesy dictates that I go first. So while filming their knife fight scene, Thomas Jane accidentally stabbed Kevin Nash. Nash accepted cold beers from the film crew as compensation.
I love that it's the film crew, not even from Thomas Jane.
Well, he's the Punisher. He didn't care.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that fucking scene, though. Like, it is classic, like, oh, we hired a wrestler to be the big guy that doesn't talk. But the fact that he stabs him, and he's just like, what? Like, and then he takes the knife out and then stabs Punisher. And it's just this brutal, like, ah! Right where I got shot earlier in the movie. That's fucking right, awesome. Yeah. I also,
oh man,
in the day and age we're in now, watching it today, I was like, "That's not hygienic. That's how things spread."
That's true. I didn't even think about that part of it. I kind of saw it as a okay, you're gonna stab me. I will then make it even and stab you right where you stabbed me.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. All right, next one is Thomas Jane trained for nearly 7 months with the United States Navy SEALs and gained more than 20 pounds of muscle in doing so. That's a lot of muscle.
Yeah, it's considerably more than I have now. And I'm sure Thomas Jane started out already with more than I have now. At around an hour 21, Rebecca Romijn revealed that in a scene where she sews up a knife wound on Thomas Jane, she pushes the needle too far in and ends up actually sewing a couple of stitches on Thomas Jane's body instead of just the prosthetic wound.
Whoops. Yeah. And actually, that reminds me. When we first see her and she's sewing something up and then, like, bites it, the string, there's a pair of scissors, like, 6 inches away.
That's a classic sewer's thing. Like, that's in almost every movie. Yeah,
I agree, but don't have scissors sitting there. Just take the scissors out of the scene.
I'm so good at this, I'm going to bite the string. Sorry.
I guess. All right, Jonathan Hensley, I think we've decided, actually knew someone who parked illegally for 2 years in Manhattan by using the same bogus fire hydrant ploy Frank Castle uses to keep Livia's parking space open during his schemes.
It is clever, though that it seems like it would be super fucking heavy.
I know. It's like, can't you just get like a light version where the bottom is just kind of heavy and won't fall over?
I mean, it's got to look real.
I guess.
Thomas Jane initially turned down the role twice, as well as a part in X-Men from 2000, as he didn't see himself as a superhero actor. He only became interested in the character after being asked to play him for the second time, and he had seen Timothy Bradstreet's artwork of the character, which is a classic Punisher artist, for those that don't know. Yeah. I wonder... I could see him as, like, a Cyclops. Like, I like James Marsden, but, like, a Cyclops that I would actually, like, as we talked about with Joe, follow into battle.
Right.
It would be Thomas Jane.
Yeah. When this was released on DVD in September 2004, it surprised Marvel by selling nearly 2 million copies in its first 5 days.
Wow. Half of which to me. Yeah, this nice. Seems like this is one of those cult movies where it's like it didn't do well, but the people who love it, like me, love it. Like, it's just, yeah, it's not perfect, but it's so much fun. And there are scenes of brilliance that are so Punisher that it's just awesome.
Yes. There are scenes that are brilliant.
Yeah. Just like between the two of us, there is a host of this show who is brilliant. And one
thank you.
Who thank is you. Not.
I appreciate that, man.
Yep. Yes, pro wrestler Kevin Nash had to cut his hair for this role. To explain the haircut to his wrestling fans, he, quote, bet his hair in a match against wrestler Chris Jericho. Here's the thing.
Hey. Oh, boy. What do you got?
Wrestling's fake, folks.
Yes.
These guys are actors, and they're in movies a lot. So you could just say, hey, you know what I had to do? Cut my hair for a movie. That's how that worked. I remember this. I was at work one day, and these guys that I worked with who always gave me shit about liking superheroes talked about liking pro wrestling. And I stopped for a second. I went, so you give me shit for liking superheroes, but you like pro wrestling? And they're like, yeah, you have a point. Okay, that's like big guys in tights, fake story, fighting each other. Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
except so mine's
which one
better.
Are you describing?
Mine has higher production values now.
Yes.
Back in the 90s, yeah, it was about the same.
That's fair. Now, I will say with this one in particular, I don't know if his hair is kind of iconic to his look in the wrestling world, because I'm not a fan, but I'm assuming it was. And so I'm now trying to put it into like the comic world, where if something big changes about a comic book character, you would also question it. So you got to have something in there.
Yeah. So you write that's it. Why you write it slide. Into the story of whatever.
Yes, which is exactly what they did.
Fair enough. But I had to complain about wrestling because it's dumb and I don't care for it. Okay. If you're a fan, that's great. I understand, but I don't care.
All right. And finally, to the fun fact that I mentioned earlier, at around the 1:23 mark, much of the torture exchange between Will Patton and Ben Foster was improvised, which is impressive because it's so great.
Yeah. So that is, I wonder how much, because I mean, yeah. I could see a lot of that. I mean, Ben Foster, as we talked about, is brilliant. And I've always liked Will Patton. Remember the Titans and Fourth Kind and all that sort of stuff. But I like it. Yeah.
There we go.
It's a great movie. Great.
A decent movie. I would recommend actually checking out if you've got extra time.
Yes.
So there you go.
I actually have. All right. I forgot about, I was going to mention this. I have a Thomas Jane Punisher action figure.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to try and see it. There we go. I obviously only Jeremy will be able to see this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe, are you going to take a picture and post it on a...
Yeah, now that I got it dug out, and it comes with, and I was going to mention this also. So for those that don't know, Punisher actually first appeared as a villain in Amazing Spider-Man number 129. He was sent by a character called the Jackal to kill Spider-Man, and then he was so popular that they, you know, gave him his own book and made him an actual character. But
nice. Yeah, very cool.
Cool stuff. Yeah, now that I have it dug out from where it was and nothing fell down, I will take a picture of it, and it'll be our teaser picture for this episode that you would have seen yesterday.
If you're on our Facebook.
Mm.
So go join it.
It's still there. If you haven't joined it, it's still there.
Right. That's true.
Behind, right before today's meme.
Perfect.
Depending on the time of day. You know.
Yeah. If it's not right before today's meme, scroll down or up.
Yeah.
However it works for you.
I think it's down.
Anyways, that was Punisher 2004. Thank you all for listening. Next episode is going to be, I don't remember what the documentary is called, but it is the documentary on Disney Plus about Stan Lee. It's probably called Stan Lee, The Life of a Legend. It's probably not, but actually not a bad title.
That's not a bad title. I'm on Disney Plus right now to see if it's in the coming up things. Now I'm just gonna search for Stan Lee. Still not there. So I don't know what it's called either. But the documentary about Stan Lee that's hitting Disney Plus on the 16th.
Is it just called Stan Lee?
I don't know.
It might be. I think it might be. But I think they should change it to Stan Lee, The Life of a Legend. Because it sounds great. And it's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what we're talking about next episode.
Yes, exactly. Yes, thank you. That will be next episode. So tune in for that. And until then, if you want to reach out and let us know your thoughts on The Punisher or anything else, go to the website, wearemarvelpod.com, or go to our social media, the one we've been mentioning quite a few times here, on Facebook or anywhere else, really. It's wearemarvelpod. If you want to email us, wearemarvelpod@gmail.com. And if you go to the website, you can click on the link for merchandise. Go on there, see the different options we have, click on that, and then you can choose either a sticker, a shirt, pillow, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Check it out. And if you can do us a huge favor and share this episode or any other episode with your friends or family, that would help us out a ton. Indeed. We thank anyone that has done that already, and anyone that will do it in the future, you're pre-thanked.
Mm-hmm. And we'll thank you again next time, probably. Or not.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
We'll do it. I'll do it. Okay. You'll do it.
All right.
Okay. All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you all for listening. I've been Jeremy.
And I'm Justin.
Bye.
Bye.